traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
All right. Hi. Are you voting, Pennsylvania? Are you voting? Today's the day. Polls close 7 hours from now, a little less, 8 o'clock tonight. All right. I am not formally endorsing anybody. I, various reasons, I'm prohibited from doing that. However, I can say I want Dr. Oz to win. Oh, boy, do I want that to happen. Man, oh, man. Look, I consider him a friend. I think it'd be a great thing to have a friend as a U.S. senator. Don't you? Look, it's a great thing to have Dr. Oz as a friend, period. So I think he'd be great for Pennsylvania, and I think he'd be great for the country. It is a tight race, and they say anything can happen in politics, but I don't think people should let down Donald Trump. Remember, this is Donald Trump's pick, okay? All right, Pennsylvania.
Well, Dr. Oz was friends with Oprah. I don't...
Shush with that stuff. So is Donald Trump.
Dr. Oz, I don't know if I can trust him on matters of life.
Have you heard him? All right? Have you heard him? There's no way he's going back on these promises. None. No. It's impossible. Hey, by the way, did you hear Donald Trump once say he was... You know, I hate to say it, but I am actually very much pro-choice. I'm a very pro-choice. He said it in 1999. And guess what? There were Jeb Bush Republicans and Ted Cruz running around yelling his head off. Ah, he's not really going to follow through. And that man, Donald Trump, became the most pro-life president in the history of presidents, okay? All right. Meanwhile, in the history of presidents, there has never been a worse one, a more dishonest one. You know, I'm tempted to say evil, actually. I'm not going to say it right now. I will say he's bad. He's a bad man. Joe Biden running up to Buffalo with the intention of doing one thing, dividing this country and creating a myth, a horrible myth that somehow this is a systemically racist country infused with white supremacism everywhere. Now, that is a lie, everybody. It sure is. It absolutely is. That's not what we are. That's not who we're about. And by the way, how dare you even hint, and I'm told he's about to say it out loud, that conservative media had anything to do with this. All right? And that's what you're saying. And that's what your little friends are saying. Now, the guy who did this, the 18-year-old, had to go to 4chan and the sub-basement of Reddit and the weather stormtroopers.ch.slash. You've never been to these websites, and neither have I. I love America. I love people. All types, it doesn't matter. I love being a conservative because we don't care what people look like. We don't. We care about ideas. We care about character. What do you have to bring to the table? That's what you got to do at my house, by the way. You got to bring something to the table. An item for discussion. Tell us about yourself. And don't tell me about your gender. We can generally assess that ourselves. And don't bring up who you're sleeping with. That's not polite. Just say something of value. Make a contribution. That's what America's about, right? But no. It's all about what you look like. It's all about this. It's all about that. So Joe Biden goes up to Buffalo, and right away, he only responds when the victims are of color and the assailant is white. And why does he do that? Because political power can be had. More power, more money, potentially, profit. He's projecting when he says the right does this. Yeah, good old white supremacy, right? Yeah, so many white supremacists out there. This guy was a deranged kid. You can't even talk about his mental health. They're saying, no, you can't talk about that. You must talk about the racism. Well, obviously, he's crazy. Why? You can't tell us. And I'm hearing that from the White House podium itself, the White House podium, which, oh, by the way, is now occupied by a, what is she again? Hey, find the clip where she announces her first day on the job that she's a black lesbian immigrant. Now, I watch that, and I'm like, why would she come out and say that? Is she looking for dates? I mean, is this like some sort of personal ad for her? Who cares? She does. Karine Jean-Pierre, more on her in a little bit. If you want to meet women or whatever you're into, save it for Bumble, all right? Save it for the weekend. And everybody knows you can, you know, set the settings and you can find whatever you want. Short guy, short girl, fat girl, skinny girl, whatever you want, all right? Foreign, domestic, it's all right there. And in 5 minutes, they'll be there for you. Maybe they're just sitting down the hall. All right, Joe Biden today, just a little while ago, bad-mouthing America. This is bad-mouthing America. Go.
Jill and I bring you this message from deep in our nation's soul. In America, evil will not win, I promise you. Hate will not prevail. And white supremacy will not have the last word.
So you might think, well, that's fine, right? We, of course, white supremacy is not going to have the last word. But it's what, it's the hyping of white supremacy. It's blaming people in conservative media for pushing white supremacy when we're not. You know, this, what do they call it? The great replacement theory, which I've never heard of. That apparently there are some white people out there afraid of being replaced by people of color. Now, if they feel that way, and a small subset does, and they hang out in Fortran groups online and weirdo dark places on the web, it's not what I'm talking about. That's not what Tucker Carlson is talking about. It's not. What we're talking about, we want people who come to this country legally who share our values. As we talked about yesterday, if you take the citizenship oath, you profess to support America, the Constitution. It's very similar to the oath of office that people take when they actually assume office. But it goes further. Not only do you swear allegiance to the country, but you promise that you'll take up arms if you have to, if the case, if need be. I love immigrants. I do. I think they're fantastic. We're all the children of immigrants for the most part, and they came here at great risk and sacrifice and entering the unknown. Immigrants are great, but we don't want them coming here unchecked, unvetted, and not supporting our values. I mean, right? It's okay to have a country, guys. It's okay. You don't want people coming here with their allegiance is to something else. Some other country, some other ideology that is in direct conflict with ours. And oh, by the way, you know what is in direct conflict with ours? This Sharia law stuff. You can look it up. Where you stone women for committing adultery. And I don't think we want that here, do you? All right, what else did he say? You know, Joe really does think we're stupid. And he thinks, I guess, future historians, maybe he doesn't care, aren't going to be around to fact-check him on all of this stuff. Because they will see, wait a second, Joe Biden didn't respond to Waukesha, Wisconsin, but he did respond to the Atlanta spa shootings. Hmm? Now, why is that? Why is that? Why does Joe Biden never talk about black-on-black crime, which is a real thing, but he runs to the scene of Buffalo so he can tear us apart and create a myth about America, a horrible myth that too many people believe. Go ahead.
In Charlottesville, Virginia, I wasn't going to run, as the senator knows, again for president. But when I saw those people coming out of the woods or the fields in Virginia, in Charlottesville, carrying torches, shouting, "You will not replace us," accompanied by white supremacists and carrying Nazi banners. That's when I said, no, no. And I, honest to God, those who know me, Chuck, you know, I wasn't going to run for certain, but I was going to be darned if I was going to let anyway. I'm going to get going. Look, we've seen the mass shootings in.
Hey, wait a second. So that's meaning he's about to talk about Trump, but he doesn't want to get going. Hey, remember, this is the guy who said he was going to bring us all together. Hey, the idea that he saw Charlottesville on TV and decided to run, that, everybody, is not true, otherwise known as a lie. You can read it in all these books. You know, we got all these political journalists around documenting everything, blogging everything, tweeting everything. That's not true. We have actually too many of these guys. I often wonder, why do we have so many political journalists? And it's the least substantive. It's the silliest. Ultimately, the people are going to decide, and they're running around. It's so bitchy, quite frankly, political journalists and coverage. Oh, well, he's a phony. Where did he get his money? Very bitchy. It's very nasty. And we didn't always have that. Quite frankly, we had the boys on the bus, and they were a bit more mature than the current crew. And can I hear a little bit more?
Atlanta, El Paso, Texas, and Pittsburgh. Last year in Atlanta, this week in Dallas, Texas, and now in Buffalo, New York. White supremacy is a poison. It's a poison running through our, it really is. Running through our body politic. And it's been allowed to fester and grow right in front of our eyes.
Really?
No more. I mean, no more. We need to say as clearly and forcefully as we can that the ideology of white supremacy has no place in America.
All right. Here we go again.
None.
Yeah, no kidding, Pops. We already know that. All right? Don't try to malign us who disagree with you politically, who believe in individualism, that somehow we're supporting white supremacy. And that's what he's doing. And you know what you're going to see? A whole round of this crap again. Will you denounce white supremacy candidate X? Will you denounce the Proud Boys, Donald Trump? Will you denounce the Proud? Just on and on and on it goes. They'll do it to one side, of course. No one will ever be asked to denounce Antifa. You can denounce them all you want. Sure, absolutely. It's a horrible, it's a cancer, poison. But to pretend that it's more than it is, that's the dangerous stuff. That's where you tear apart a country. And oh, by the way, where is that? Where did he say? Oh, yeah, here we go. Do we have any more from that speech? I want to wrap it up here. Okay, we got one more. All right, one more, if you don't mind. This just happened in Buffalo, a place, by the way, I've never been. It's far. New York State is a big state. Have you ever been up there, man? It's far. I think it's like an 8-hour drive. I'm going to look it up while we listen to this. Go ahead.
Hate and fear of being given too much oxygen by those who pretend to love America, but who don't understand America. To confront the ideology of hate requires caring about all people, not making distinctions. Reverend, the scripture is seeing that we're all part of the divine. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the America I know, that Jill knows, and most deserve the most. We're the most multiracial, most dynamic nation in the history of the world. Now's the time for the people of all races, from every background, to speak up as a majority in America and reject white supremacy.
Yeah, geez.
These actions we've seen in these hate-filled attacks represent the views of a hate-filled minority.
Stop. So we're all going to be tested on white supremacy. I find the question insulting. Do you reject white supremacy? And for him to say, you know, half the country, Joe, half the country wasn't for you. We reject white supremacy, but you build it up, you pretend it's an issue when it's not, and you fly around the country exploiting things that you think you can use for political power, gain, all that stuff. And these freakazoids, white supremacists, and yes, they are out there, a handful, but to say that this is a cancer, it's not taking us over. You want to portray it as such. And this is very wrong for a man who promised the very day he became president, if you don't mind. Cut 24. What a bold promise. And his whole soul was in it. Right, Joe? Cut 24, January 20th, 2021. A brand new president.
Today, on this January, my whole soul is in this. Bringing America together, uniting our people. Uniting in our nation.
Yeah, right. 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 No. No. Wants to pretend that half the country is sympathetic to white supremacists. This man has no soul. How could he have one if he said his whole soul is in this and he's doing the opposite? I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, he's on the phone right now. He's busy on the last few hours running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania, Dr. Mehmet Oz, Republican, endorsed by President Trump. This is it, primary day. Dr. Oz, welcome back. Where are you? How's it going?
Greg, I'm back in Montgomery County, which is one of the collar counties around Philadelphia. I've been traveling all through this part of the state for the last day, but I believe me, made my way through every place, every little corner of this very large Commonwealth throughout this campaign, falling more in love with Pennsylvanians and our beautiful Commonwealth than ever before. And I tell you, the message is resonating. You know, I've been leading in the polls. I have reminded people that I fought for Americans against powerful inside my entire career. You and I have done it together. Most recently during the COVID pandemic, attacking mandates and shutdowns. That's why we keep saying fire Fauci, right? Because censored thought. He shut down well-meaning scientists who had different philosophies than him. And when you mix politics and medicine, you get politics, which is what Fauci created. But the good news is we are a land of plenty. And I can help with other leaders in this and make it a land of plenty by reducing regulations, by reducing incompetence. We need a bold voice to represent our Pennsylvania values, like pro-life and pro-Second Amendment and pro-energy. Because who wants to walk around worrying about prices or finding baby formula, which in your case is a pretty personal concern?
Yes, actually it is. What the hell are we going to do? I cannot believe America, the land of plenty, is dealing with this kind of stuff. It does seem like third world country stuff, and it feels like we're in serious, serious decline.
It feels that way when you're looking at it from top down, but when you're actually in the trenches with, in my case, Pennsylvanians who are making life work for them, they're actually optimistic. They know what they need to do. Every business I visit needs more employees. They have the ability to make a lot more stuff. They've got customers. And we actually are a land of plenty, but we have to get government out of their hair. And the regulations, the rules, the levies, they are suffocating. They're absolutely destructive to the well-being of our society. And more recently, we're running into gross incompetence. We saw it during COVID. Everyone witnessed it there when we didn't even have protective gear, no testing, and then we make bad decisions so that we don't have medications we should have. But the incompetence expands to energy policy, where, my goodness, we have more natural gas here in Pennsylvania than we could possibly use. The entire country could benefit for hundreds of years. But the Green New Deal, this is a lie. Scientifically speaking, cannot happen the way it's outlined in the timeline proposed. It's dominating what Biden thinks should happen. So every time it's a rational thing that might help reduce energy costs, which is the major driver of inflation, make, for example, New England coastal communities much less expensive to live in by reducing the costs of empowering these communities, you know, they shut it down. New York will not let natural gas from Pennsylvania flow through to the East Coast. So instead, in New York City, for example, you import natural gas from South America or you buy Russian oil. This is not a good way for us as a nation to govern ourselves. National security is impacted by these bad decisions. You need bold voices in Washington, which is what I hope to be when elected as senator. If I'm honored by more votes from Pennsylvanians later this afternoon, then I'll be able to carry the banner forward and say enough. Enough, Democrats. You have no agenda for prosperity. Let us thrive. Let us become a land of plenty again.
Hey, in our remaining moments, if you win tonight, and I think you will, I certainly hope you will, it looks very good. Trump endorsed you, of course, and people know you. You're the Republican nominee, and then you got to go up against Fetterman, most likely, in the general. What's your sense of him, and what about what do you do on a day like today? I mean, you know, is it like exam day? All the studying is done. I mean, what else is there to do when the votes actually start?
Exam day is a good metaphor, although I've been using sports day. I played sports my whole life, and when you sit in the sideline right before the game starts, you've done everything you can to prepare. And I just walk out in the field and enjoy it. And my opponent Fetterman is a worthy Democratic opponent. He's a darling amongst the far left liberals. He's argued to be the most liberal statewide official in the country. He's the current lieutenant governor. But basically, here we describe him as a tall Bernie Sanders. And I think that's the campaign options that people are going to have in the general. Me, who comes at this as a physician who's fought against powerful insiders my whole career, can articulate exactly why conservative ideas make sense, because the realities of life are conservative. And a guy on the far left who hasn't actually worked in the private sector, doesn't understand how business works, and has a platform agenda that ranges from legalizing marijuana, which I know some people want, but in America today, we need people working, to no more fracking, which again is a major concern because it's a national security risk if we don't have energy under our feet that we can use.
Well, Dr. Oz, all the luck. And you work so hard, and it really looks like it's all coming together for you. Donald Trump, oh, final thing. Donald Trump, there was like a tele-rally of some kind. I saw you holding a phone right to the microphone. Of course, he was at that rally for you. It was spectacular, and he spoke so big and strong and all that stuff. But what was that tele-rally like?
It means the world to me. He has done a couple. We get tens of thousands of Pennsylvanians to participate. I actually had a real rally with a tele-rally as well. So we had hundreds of people in person, tens of thousands on the phone, and he spoke to everybody glowingly and beautifully. He's really thoughtful about this process, said all the things that needed to be heard for a population that's desperate for leadership. And I'll tell you, the only thing Joe Biden's built back better is the Republican Party. Every day he's in office, Americans miss Donald Trump that much more.
It's true. Well, Dr. Mehmet Oz, next time we speak, I very much hope it's you officially the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania, and I have a I feel it. I feel it. Dr. Oz, good luck. Many, many thanks.
God bless. Take care.
All right, thank Dr. Oz. Thank you. Hey, pretty cool, right? Dr. Oz himself. And there's the music. We got to go. Oh, this would be so great. So great. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Elon Musk, richest man in the world. Might just be one of my favorite men in the world. I'm liking this guy a lot. He's been around for a long time. Never paid much attention to him, really. He called my old show once, Good Day New York. I thought he was prank phone calling me. Now I realize that's his personality. I mean, he just lets it rip. And he's kind of like Trump in that way. And he just says things that kind of everybody knows, but he just gets there first. Elon Musk on who's really running this country. Cut 35, please.
The real president is whoever controls the teleprompter. You know, like, it's like the path to power is the path to the teleprompter. You know, like what because that then he just reads the teleprompter. So you know, I do feel like if somebody would accidentally lean on the teleprompter, it's going to be like Anchorman. It's going to be like QQQ ASDF 123. You know, type of thing.
Wow, that's good. Hey, who you know what he's talking about? Anchorman, the movie, Ron Burgundy. And what was Ron's problem? Remember, Ron, I'm kind of a big deal. I actually kind of liked that movie and kind of didn't. And it's too long a story. But, yeah, he's right. He's totally reliant on the – oh, he went to Buffalo today with Jill. This is not the kind of thing I think you bring the wife. A middle-of-the-day, basically a business trip, and he brings his wife, the first lady. Usually she does something else, but she's got to be there basically to protect Joe, to tell him to wave, to tell him, you know, things that – aides might not feel comfortable telling him to do. She can as the spouse. What else did Elon Musk say about President Biden? This is a Zoom call, I think, with a bunch of techies. Cut 38.
I mean, this administration just it doesn't seem to get a lot done. Like, and, you know, whatever, like, the Trump administration, leaving Trump aside, there were a lot of people in the administration who were effective at getting things done. So, This administration seems just to not have like the drive to just get done.
Get, oh, dirty word, done. Damn straight. Who were some of the people we liked in the Trump administration? I'll tell you who. Stephen Miller. I thought he was very effective. Mike Pompeo, although he's getting on my nerves lately because he thinks he's a big shot. He wants to. Hey, Larry Kudlow was there for essentially the entire time. Council of the Economic Advisors chairman. Who else is really, really good? Hey, you know what? You got to hand it to Jared Kushner. You do. He was there the entire time. And the Abraham Accord, you know, peace between Israel and Bahrain and I think, what were the other countries? Qatar, UAE, and was Yemen or Saudi Arabia? Anyway, he did a lot of things that had not been done before. Oh, something else that had been done, not been done before. Moving the capital of Israel. Moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Hey, you want to hear something disgusting? You know who was the worst in that administration was Mark Esper, the Secretary of Defense. And he was on Colbert last night, and he was telling, oh, just, he's a traitor, a mutineer, and so un-American. This guy... I'll show you tonight, and I'm going to have to get some sound from the interview, and I want to show you some visuals. But like so many people in the swamp, they don't think this is a democracy. And they talk about, oh, preserving democracy, and Trump was undermining democracy. He was the epitome of democracy. We elected him. He won in 2016. He's the president. It's in the Constitution. There are many things within his purview, within his scope, and you guys try to trip him up and take those things from him. And one of those things was running the Pentagon, and you said, no, the bureaucracy does. Watch out when any bureaucrat starts talking about
the men and women of the Pentagon, the men and women of the FBI, the men and women.
Shut up. They work for us. Remember that. Even about the military. Thank you for your service. Yeah, all right, fine. The military serves the American people. The American people don't serve the military, all right? And you know what? Lately, over the past couple of years, and I know it comes usually from a good place, you know, support the troops, that kind of thing, but it's gotten a little bit overboard. It's gotten a little out of hand. And now they're so, I'm talking primarily about the civilian leaderships, but a hell of a lot of generals and yeah, mid-level officers. Way too politicized and way too attuned to what their political masters want. Wait, did he say anything else that was good? Elon Musk. This is not as good, but maybe thought-provoking. Cut 39.
But let's just make sure we're getting top talent in the United States. And really, I'd say broadly, it's anyone who wants to work their ass off and contribute more than they take to the economy. Like, that's just necessarily going to make for a stronger, better society in America.
Hey, you know what is lacking? People who want to work their ass off. And COVID was a big, big, big step in the wrong direction. And this shooter in Buffalo, everyone's trying to ignore it, downplay it, pretend this was not stated or whatever. But what started this killer, allegedly, down a horrible dark path was boredom during COVID. That was a real thing. It was a real thing. Donald Trump warned about it. Nope. Everybody insisted. You got to shut it all down. We got to the point that perhaps, yes, the cure was worse than the disease. And he was challenged every step of the way that there would be drug addicts, there would be depressions, there would be suicides. And yet, you know what? There'd be crime like this. Horrible. And no baby formula. What happened to all the baby food, please? Hold on. I had some good things from last night. Oh, this is, you have to walk tall and stand tall, whoever you are, and advocate for yourself, and do not let anybody shame you, and do not. If you're listening to this show, if you think like me, you may have, and it's a joke now. It's a total joke. We abhor racism. We abhor the idea that one race is superior in any way to another race. This is ludicrous, ugly stuff. We don't believe it. We love people. We don't care what they look like. We care about their character. We care about their ideas. This is not what the left says about us, though. They say horrible things like we espouse, well, something I had never heard of before. Now they're trying to take Tucker out over it. This replacement theory thing. Listen to this. Cut 25.
Yes, it's the great replacement theory rearing its ugly head again. This white replacement nonsense. It convinces isolated men on the internet that a cabal is replacing whites with people of color.
To many Republican politicians, people of color are not perceived as real Americans with legitimate wants and concerns.
Really repugnant white supremacist idea that people of color are replacing white people in the United States. It's being pushed by right-wing media personalities and some political figures.
Who? Dana Bash or what's that guy's name from MSNBC, Moyed? No. How about getting specific? Who? What political figure speaks about this stuff? Now, what they're trying to imply, again, they're not specific. They just want to imply. They want the viewer to make assumptions about right-wing media, about people like Trump, people who like Trump. Oh, yeah, that's that crowd, right? Now, no. We don't care what people look like. We do care, though, that people who come to this country come here legally and come here ready to embrace our values. We do have a value system here in America. Ask anybody who's taken the citizenship test. You have to know things about this country, and you have to swear loyalty to this country. And that's one of the reasons why I love immigrants, because they consciously made the decision, and they took an oath. And in that oath, and this was the greatest moment in the 2020 convention, Donald Trump, they're giving the oath of citizenship, and first they take the Pledge of Allegiance. I think there's one person from Africa, one person from South Asia, I believe India, one person from South America. They're from all over the world, and it was beautiful. And we don't care about what people look like. We don't. It's the values. Right now, there's a congresswoman in, no, I'm sorry, a candidate for Congress in Minnesota. She looks fabulous. Just a military, strong. She happens to be Muslim. It doesn't matter. She does not espouse Sharia law, right? Which would be a big problem here. That's one of the things that you, that we actually vet. Sharia law is not compatible with America. It's not. Doesn't have anything to do with the skin color, all right? It is a doctrine that we object to. Sharia law. Let's see. A lot of people have stories about Fetterman. I'll get to those in a second. All right. So, do we have to say anything more about, do I want to say anything more about Kathy Barnett? Look, people are already voting. I think she's totally ridiculous, as you guys have heard by now. You know, I put my resume on TV last night. I have a pretty extensive resume at this point. I've done a lot of things. A resume has specific accomplishments and dates when you did it. And I put up my military resume, and I was in the military for 20 years, 9 years active duty, a dozen in the reserves. Guess what's not on my resume? Officer Candidate School, because it was like the thing I did on the first day. It's just like it's you do it and then you be. But this is her claim to fame, that she was accepted at Officer Candidate School. Cut 28, please.
Kathy, did you go to Officer Candidate School? There's questions around that.
I was accepted. I always say I was accepted. I went through the rigorous paperwork and vetting and interviews to be accepted into Officer Candidacy School. And I have always said I did not finish it because I got married. I was this really cute guy asked me to marry him.
It's interesting. She says I was accepted, but she doesn't say she entered or started. Then she says she didn't finish. She's making it up. And this is the big claim to fame she has on her resume. Military, and that she went to officer or was accepted into officer candidacy school, which doesn't exist, by the way. Very strange. And I don't think there would be any hope for her in the general election. So choose carefully. Choose carefully, Pennsylvania. Hey, one more thing. Oh, Governor Hochul is all over the place. So I can't stand this woman. I am sorry. We got to do something about this. She is terrible. Has no business being governor. No business. Now, Cuomo picked her. You know why he picked her? Because she wouldn't be an issue. She wouldn't be any kind of threat politically. And now everyone's just going to roll over because we're so damn lazy these days and things just happen. Path of least resistance. Screw that. And you know what? Good for Tom Suozzi, Democrat, running against her. Good for Andrew Giuliani, Rob Astorino, and Zeldin getting in there, running against, running for governor. I love it. I love it. Because here she is making a fool out of herself, just trying to, glom onto any event and make it a big deal for her. Cut 18.
So let's just be real honest about the role of elected leaders, and we're just calling this out and not coddling this behavior and saying that it's, well, that's just young people and they're sharing their ideas. Yeah, I'll protect the First Amendment any day of the week, but you don't protect hate speech. You don't protect incendiary speech. You're not allowed to scream fire in a crowded theater. There are limitations on speech, and right now we have seen this run rampant.
Yeah, no, I actually don't agree with her. Incendiary speech? Who's gonna govern what's incendiary? Sometimes I'm incendiary. Sometimes I have something to say. Who's gonna judge what's, it's already against the law to yell fire in a crowded theater. Okay? It is. Now what they're going to do, they're gonna take this horrible event and use it to justify and sanctify even and promote their silly digital governance board and the other very dangerous things they're talking about to control speech in America. We can't let that happen. Give me a moment.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
All right, got to wrap up Buffalo one more time. Joe Biden just came to New York State. He was wowed by Kathy Hochul. Yeah, imagine that. They get along. Remember, the shooter up there had to go to crazy weirdo websites buried within 4chan, deep down in the sub-basement of Reddit, and that's where he came up with, oh, by the way, his anti-Semitic, anti-black, horrible viewpoints. He went on and on about how corrupt Fox News is, and he hates Rupert Murdoch. He accused him of being a Jewish person. That's not an accusation, by the way. Jewish people are Jewish people. It's just this guy was demented, okay? He was all those things. But, for people like the Waukesha driver, you know, who the massacre, Christmas time, ran into all those people, seems like hated white people as well. He was very upset that, who was that, Rittenhouse was found not guilty. He got so mad he got into his car and drove into a parade full of white people and killed them. Now, where could he have gotten those crazy ideas, huh? That America was systemically racist and police were bad and white people have, you know, white privilege and all that stuff. Where could he have gotten fired up like that? You don't have to go to the sub-basement of 4chan, whatever the hell that is. You can just turn on MSNBC. Any left-wing cable news will do. Cut 22, please.
Gets to the point of the systemic racism that exists in this country that permeates every social system that we have here.
Everything in this country's governance has its roots in racism. This country was built on the enslaved and stolen land.
Racism is systemic. It is structural. It is pervasive.
Racism is built into the fabric of our society. It's environmental racism, educational racism, the foods that we eat, the healthcare that we receive.
There is systemic racism that must be weeded out.
We've got to deal with the issues of systemic racism throughout our society.
Racism exists in the DNA of America, and the only way that we're going to deal with it is to confess our sins.
Wow. So what do we have here, folks? Going forward, what are we going to have? Well, we're going to have a lot more mass shootings by people of color, of people who are not of color. That's what we're going to have. And they'll be unacknowledged. They will be uncovered. They will be downplayed. But we're going to have a lot more of that because, let's face it, there's a certain subset of the country that's crazy. I mean, there is. I don't know if it's 0.1% or 0.02% or I don't know what it is. But there have been, and there always will be crazy people. All right? Now, that toxic junk that you just heard is everywhere. I mean, you don't have to go looking hard for it. You can, I'm looking at it right now, right over there, MSNBC. Hate crime, Buffalo. Systemic racism highlights the rise of online extremism. All right? They're going to hype it. And that's going to motivate more maniacs. Now, there are other maniacs who lean another way, and they're all this white supremacy stuff, right? Well, you can't just turn on the TV and hear that stuff. And as much as they want to think that it's otherwise, you can't turn on Newsmax, you can't turn on Fox News and hear that horrible stuff. You can't. It's just not there. That's not who we are. That's not what we are. You got to go to the garbage dump of the internet, and it's there. You can find it. So there are, as far as crazy people, only so many people are going to go to that trouble, okay? But others, you don't have to go to any trouble. You just turn on the TV. There it is. One more time. And by the way, the first person you're about to hear speak, she's talking about the institutions, all of them plagued with racism. Remember that. I want to come back to her, but remember her voice. Maybe we'll cut it down earlier. Cut 22. Just turn on the TV. You will hear this.
Gets to the point of the systemic racism that exists in this country that permeates every social system that we have here.
All right, stop for a second. You know who that is? Her name is Yasmin, and she works on MSNBC. And I was so curious because she said that with such, you know, confidence and authority. Like, who is this person? What is she, a sociologist? What is she? I mean, what is, who is she? How does she know this stuff? Well, she doesn't. You know where she worked before MSNBC? Entertainment Tonight. Okay? She was on the Howard Stern show for a while as an intern. She worked at CNN. She doesn't know this stuff. She says it because it's fashionable. And it can keep you, for the moment, in power if you are a certain way. A woman, preferably a black woman, okay? And by the way, let's say, what's his name? The Waukesha driver doesn't have cable TV or he's not big into news. Well, it's in the air. Because when political leaders like Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the rest speak like this, it has an effect. I really think so. Cut 23.
We've seen with horrifying clarity the cost of systemic racism.
We have a system that is built on systemic racism, and we have to dismantle that system piece by piece.
It is time we face up to the reality of systemic racism in all of its forms.
Racism is systemic. It is structural.
So you hear that enough and you're crazy, you may want to fix it. And you don't have to go very far to hear that stuff. That's the you see? I think it makes perfect sense, don't you? What do you think, Dave? You're in Blairstown. I just laid out, I thought, a pretty compelling case. Dave, what do you think?
This is what I think.
Well, Dave, hold on a second. I'll get back to you, Dave. I want to take another Dave. Dave in Orange County, if you don't mind. Dave in Orange County. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? You know, those clips pretty much say it all, right? When I was younger, when you threw around that word racism, you better make sure that you're 100% sure that that person's a racist. These people, the way they say it, there's no feeling, there's no heart, and they've never been, like, attacked by another race. They're just saying the word. Now, we have to stop just throwing that word around, racism, or you're a racist. I mean, I get into an argument with somebody, all of a sudden I'm a racist. You have to stop throwing that word around. People have to stop throwing that word around unless it means something.
I agree. Now it's just code for I disagree with somebody. Racist. It's nothing. They've taken all the meaning out of the word. It's been overexposed, if you will. All right. Oh, there's the music again. One more break. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, you know what? I guess what's going to happen to the next 40-year-old white straight male when he wants to be press secretary? When he's in the running to be press secretary, are we ever going to have one of them again? I guess you got to have somebody cool. You know, women have an advantage, quite frankly, they really do. Number one, powerful men, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, really like having younger, pretty women around. They do. And that can get them promotions. That can get them. Guys tend to look at other guys, I think, on a primal level as competitors for resources and for women. Yeah. So guys can be very, very hard on each other. And I think that's we got to change that. We have to look out for each other, right? No matter what the hell you look like, the gender, any of that crap. That goes to you, Kevin, and you guys too, all right? Let me know. And we should talk more off the show. That's my bad. I come in here 30 seconds before and I leave right away after. But you can always send me a text message if you, and you too, whatever your name is, if you ever wanted to, you know, career advice or whatever. What is your name, by the way, the call screener? You're new. Ryan, what happened to the old guy? Just wait, is he gone?
Well, Pete's on vacation right now.
Which one was Pete with the long hair?
Yes.
The guy who was always going like this, like he's in a shampoo commercial. He's a nice guy, but I'm serious. Okay, you got long hair, and you know, picture, and he's always leaning back in his chair, massaging his hair. It's like a shampoo commercial. Remember, anyway, all right, I mean that. Fellas gotta look out for fellas. Young, old, Yeah, and not only just fellas, men, women, I notice in life, by the way. You've seen it. You've seen it before, right? I notice there's always a rush. People are falling all over themselves to, well, probably less because of Me Too, but, you know, the young pretty women always seem to have lots of mentors. And the dudes are kind of off on their own, right? Let's, you know, they're just like gonna try and fail, you know, on their own, trial and error, you know. But I noticed that not too many of them are being taken out to lunch and, you know, let's talk about your career. Let's, you know, no, that primarily happens for younger women when it comes to the guys. And, oh, by the way, let's face it, women, this whole up with women thing, women can be pretty nasty and competitive with each other. And you know who sometimes gets it the worst? Pretty women. It's true. They can be resented. I mean, look, okay, yeah, the boss likes them, but then their peers don't like it. It gets, look, life is complicated. Although, and I got to do more of this because I have been in a foul mood lately. I really have been. Not so hot. Life is good. But, you know, we can dwell on the negatives, and I've been doing that too much. And I can do, once again, what I was doing for a long time, two things, quite frankly. Running. You know, for about 2.5 years, it was very rare for me to go a day without running. And now, look at me. And the other thing, it was very rare for me to not read the Bible. Well, very rare. I would read it at least 5 days a week. And I fell out of the habit. You know what I mean? And there's always pressing things and always something else to do. There's really nothing important, more important than both those things. Your relationship with God, my relationship with God, and my health, you know? I mean, there are more important things than my health, but I want to be healthy so I can do all those other important things. Right, right. All right, getting back to being, what's the uncool thing again? Oh, yeah, me. A white male of a certain age who is heterosexual and born in this country. And what else is lame about me, according to the new woke left? Well, let's just check in with our new press secretary. Her name is Karine Jean-Pierre. And not for the first time, she's boasting about all these things that, and here's why I have a beef with it, she was all of these things probably the day she was born. Who goes around boasting about that? Her first day, White House press secretary, that's a big, big, big deal, right? Sure it is. And what does she credit for this success? Listen to this.
I am obviously acutely aware that my presence at this podium represents a few firsts. I am a black, gay, immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position. I would not be here today if it were not for generations of barrier-breaking people before me. I stand on their shoulders. Yeah. If it were not for generations of barrier-breaking people before me, I would not be here.
I just find it a very depressing way to look at the world. And I guess, quite frankly, is there a place in the world for me? You know? My clothes, you know, I have to wear men's clothes. Maybe I should dress more eccentrically. Maybe I should identify as something else. And I'm not going to do any of these things. I just cannot fathom ever taking pride in things that I had no control of, no control over, no input. You know, I was born with a penis. I was born white. I was born in America. Now, I'm proud to be an American. That's true. So how do you account for that? Well, I mean, I can't brag about being in America, right? I mean, we all are. We're all here. So you know what I mean. That's a little bit different. It's a crummy way of looking at the world. What do you guys think, by the way? Enough. Let's see here. Wilfredo. Was that your name? Wilfredo?
Yes, Greg. I just want to tell you, I'm a big fan. I love your show. I love your show because you're real. That's what I love about it.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, I have a personal story. I was recruited from New Jersey to go play football, Division III football, in Reading, Pennsylvania, in Albright College. And I got to me when I was there in Reading, PA. As a matter of fact, I left the college because the last time on my second year at Albright College, he was walking with another of the linemen, offensive linemen, and he was going, oh, there goes the Spick. There goes the Spick, snickering. And I just had had it, you know, because the first year I was there, I would never, ever call a wetback or Spick when I was in New Jersey. It was all a shock to me. But when the second year I came back to Albright College, I just said, this is enough. This is enough. I love the college.
So Fetterman, in college, used anti-Hispanic derogatory terms to refer to you?
Yes, absolutely.
That's terrible. Hey, look, that is terrible. And you know how I feel about the Senate race. You know, I'm all for Oz, and I don't like Fetterman. He seems like a whack job to me. I hear he's a bit of a stoner, by the way, but who knows? Now, I will say this. I mean, look, college is a long time ago. People say stupid things in life. Do you think he's the same person? Do you think he might have, you know, become a better person?
No, I don't think he's become a better person because I hear this story where he was pointing his shotgun at an unarmed Hispanic male. Then I said, whoa. I heard one good story where he was a big brother, and it seems like it was all done to probably cover up in case one day I ever came up. And I said, you know, his behavior while he was in college. But he went, as they said, he went out of his way as a big brother to a Puerto Rican kid. And, you know, it was helpful for the Puerto Rican kid, and he became someone in life. When I hear the story that he was pointing a shotgun at an unarmed Hispanic male recently, I said, that's the Fetterman I know.
So let me ask you this. Hey, by the way, Wilfredo, I think they can find you because some campaigns may want to talk to you because, let's face it, opposition research is part of the deal these days. Well, what happened? You left the school, and then what happened to you?
Let me see. After there, I think I went to the military. I was in it. I joined the church, New York City Church of Christ, for like about 4 years. And then after that, I went into the military. I went into the Air Force. And, you know, right now I'm a truck driver.
How did you like the Air Force?
I loved it. It was a great experience. I got to be in, I served in England.
Did you serve in Lake and Heath Air Force Base by any chance?
No, I visited Lake and Heath many times.
Let me ask you this. What do you drive a truck for now? How much does it cost to fill up your truck? And how big is your truck?
Well, I drive for somebody, but it has a 50-gallon tank. So it's like $230 to fill up the 50-gallon tank.
Man. And is it hard? Is it getting harder? What's the life like as a truck driver these days?
It's really tough on your body. So you got to constantly, in order to stay in the game, for me, I got to stretch twice a day to stay in the game. And even on the weekends, you know, you got to keep up with, you know, doing something to stay mobile, you know, to stretch your joints.
I never thought of it that way, that it's a tough job on your body, but it does make sense. And, hey, Wilfredo, I'm really glad you're listening. Thank you very much. Interesting story about Fetterman. And if anybody wants to get a hold of Wilfredo, I think the campaigns can make that happen. You're calling from Elizabeth. Hey, Wilfredo, thanks for listening, and thanks for that story.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You take it easy. Yeah, I know. I mean, college, I wonder about that. I mean, he knows. I mean, you know in your bones sometimes, and that whole thing about getting a big brother. There are people I know in college that I still probably, who do I really resent? Yes, I do resent somebody. I knew him in the Marine Corps. He was a superior officer, and for whatever reason, he just did not like me. He was one of those guys who said, you know, to be a good boss, you got to pick on somebody. And I was that guy. And he was one creepy jerk. But you know what? Quite frankly, Well, I don't know. I'm not there yet. I had another boss who was a creepy jerk. Oh, boy, bad. Really hated me, too. But if I saw him today, I'd hug him. I'd shake his hand, and I want to know how he is, because God let that person into my life. God put that person into my life to make certain things happen. You ever hear of T.D. Jakes? That guy is amazing. He's a minister out of Texas. He's got a lot of books. I recommend them all. But I heard a story about how he was working at Union Carbide. He had a great job at Union Carbide, you know, the big chemical factory. And he was fired. And he went into the parking lot, and he had never been so down. And, you know, he was lost. And but he needed that. And he said it's like an eagle kicking a little eaglet, a little baby eagle, out of the nest. You know, they fall and they tumble and they just start flying right at the right moment. Just before they hit the ground. And that's what I needed. That's what T.D. Jakes needed. That's what a lot of people need, actually. You know, sometimes the nest can get too comfortable and you need to be pushed out of it and start flying for yourself. You may not be able to fly super high right away, but you got to get those wings ready to take flight. You know what I mean, Charlie? Who's Charlie's in Patchogue. Hi, Charlie. What's up?
Hey, Greg, how you doing? Long time, I haven't talked to you in a while. I had a few things to talk to your screener about. You were talking about, you know, pretty girls being mentored and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's an old song by the Eagles. You know, Don Henley sang, pretty girls seem to find out early just how to open up a door with just a smile.
Yeah.
Man, that's been true for centuries, forever. And another thing I wanted to say is, you know, besides all this gun control and all these laws and whatnot, people got to get rid of hate. I mean, there's just hate. It's you know, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, and you don't have to like somebody. Just don't hate them. And also, last week you were talking about your military service, and you were stationed out of Pensacola, and you learned how to fly the T-28s in Whiting Field, I believe. Stationed up in Whiting Field and used to go to Pensacola for, that was a party town. But what I do remember about Pensacola was Escambia Bay. It was a parkway.
Yeah.
And along the parkway were these like
scenic highway
summer houses and whatnot. So say it again.
Never mind. Keep going.
Oh, anyway, there were these like, you know, like summer houses and whatnot. And I always go by this house. It was a flying saucer. I mean, do you remember seeing that flying saucer?
Vaguely.
It was right on the parkway along the beach.
Yeah.
It ran parallel to the scenic
highway. It was called Scenic Highway. It's on Escambia Bay, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, Highway. And are you sure? Was it a restaurant? Wasn't it at a restaurant?
Oh, I don't know if it was a restaurant or not.
I mean, all right. So what about this? What about it?
It was a flying saucer.
What about it?
Say again?
What about it?
Oh, well, I was just wondering if you remember it.
Yeah.
Was it gone by the time you got there?
I don't remember it. I want to say vaguely, but I would have remembered it if it was a flying saucer. I would notice things like that. And I'm a big, you know, noticer of things, and I don't think I noticed it. But, hey, man, I'm glad you had that experience. I'm glad I had that experience. And what I like to say, by the way, you don't have to like everybody, but you got to love everybody. You know, even your enemies, they're here for a reason, all right? And it can all work out according to God's plan. I don't like everybody, but I love everybody, even that creepy boss, and even that creepy boss from the Marine Corps, actually. He emailed me a couple of years ago looking for a favor. I did not answer it. I must say I took some satisfaction in that. But if he emailed me today, I would probably try to hook him up with whatever the hell he wanted. Hey, Charlie, thanks a lot. I do have to go. Do we have bananas yet? Are there any new bananas? All right. I'm going to check out the lunch situation. Give me a second.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, just so you know, one more time. It's important, right? It's important. The press secretary at the White House, kind of a coveted gig in Washington, D.C., is a, what's her deal again? She's lesbian and she's black. Now, I'm not spreading nasty rumors. I'm just actually, there would be nothing nasty about that. You can be whatever the hell you want to be these days. It's great. You know, whatever works. Now, I I do think that I know. Well, I'll get in. All right. What the hell? Why am I hemming and hawing? Here's what she said from the White House podium. Go ahead.
I am obviously acutely aware that my presence at this podium represents a few firsts. I am a black gay immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position.
Ooh.
I would not be here today if it were not for generations of barriers, barrier-breaking people before me.
Ooh.
I stand on their shoulders. If it were not for
Name
generations
names.
Of barrier-breaking people before me, I would not be here.
Barrier-breaking people before her. I don't know. Kareen, most of us have moved on. Only you talk like that. You know what she's doing, by the way? She's trying to, well, she's flexing her woke credentials. She's flexing her, don't mess with me. I'm a woman of color and I'm gay. And guess who comes out on top in any conflict in the workplace these days? Not the white man who's straight. I just have a feeling her message is to... It's not as wholesome as it might seem, right? It's just not. Now, she's a wholesome-looking person. She actually looks very much like the Little Debbie girl from the snack cakes. She looks just as cute and sweet as the Little Debbie girl. But those aren't cute and sweet words. In this day and age, them fighting words, all right? That's how she's going to hold on to power, stay in power, and use that power against you. Whoever the hell you are, anybody who crosses her, right? Certainly those reporters. All those white men have been put on notice. Do not mess. Now, I could care less. I should go down there. Can I get a pass, a White House pass? You know, I worked down there before. 2005 to 2007. I went to the White House just about every day. Quite frankly, it's no big deal. And that's what you got to be when you're down there. Too many people like, oh, my God, it's the White House. No, it's the, yeah, it's a building. It's what do you, what's the phrase? It's less than meets the eye. Right? It's not that big a deal. Even the presidency is not that big a deal. You know what was a big eye-opener for me? Air Force One. Guess what? It wasn't all that. You ever been in a camper, like an older camper from the, you know, like 20 years, 25 years old? It felt very much from the 80s. Now, I like the paint job on it, but every reporter I knew, and I got one of these myself, a picture in front. Anyway, enough about that. Vic is in Cherry Ridge. Hi, Vic. What's up?
How you doing, Greg? Greg, a couple points. First of all, I was listening to Biden's speech, and he mentioned white supremacy, he mentioned Buffalo, and he mentioned January 6th. He stated that people from other world leaders had asked him about those things. But none ever mentioned about Wisconsin, the truck driver, or anything else.
Totally. It's totally warped. He's trying to create a reality that doesn't exist, that this is a country infused with white supremacy. And you know what? The woke left, they eat it all up. That's what they want to believe. That's what they pretend is happening. And it's horrible because he's dividing this country when he said with all of his soul that it wouldn't be that way. Vic, I know you. Did you vote yet today?
Oh, yeah. You know for who, too, so.
Dr. Oz?
Yes, sir.
All right, my kind of guy. Thank you. All right, Vic. Good stuff. Hey, one more before we go. I got Paul in Middletown. Hi.
How we doing, Greg?
Yeah. Hey, man.
Hey, this... You say you love somebody. Do you love Biden?
Yes, I don't like him, but I do love him. He is God's creation. I actually, strangely enough, thoroughly dislike him. I despise him. But he's here for a reason of some kind. And God can do great things even through somebody like him. Maybe he's doing something to you about him. Like, let's face it. I am a different kind of person and broadcaster now than I was under Trump. And I definitely wanted Trump. This is harder, more challenging, and quite frankly, more interesting for me. I don't know what God is doing. He's got it. He'll reveal it to us sooner or later. But yes, the answer to your question is, and by the way, it's pretty easy for me to say, you know, I don't know what it really actually means, you know, but it's an, I like the thought. You okay with that, Paul?
Well, I'm okay with that, Greg.
All right. Anything else on your mind?
Sure. This whole race card he's playing with,
going up to Buffalo and never showing up to Waukesha. That really bothers me.
Hideous, 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 hideous behavior. So we are going to do something special, by the way, tonight for those lost in Waukesha. Something that Joe Biden would never, did never do. I think you'll like it. It's going to be special. Tonight on Newsmax at 7. But in the meantime, I'll be right back, I guess after the break, right? All right. It won't be long. Give me a second.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
So when there is an overt case of racism, racial violence perpetrated by a person of color, more specifically a black man against white people, the mainstream media will pretend it didn't happen. They'll try to blame it on something else. Why? They don't think we can handle it. They treat us like children. They do. They have no respect for us. And their rationale is, well, this will start. I don't know what their rationale is, actually. How do they justify it? I guess because it does not fit into the convenient narrative, the Democrat narrative, that helped get Joe Biden into the White House, you know, manipulated. Hey, come to think of it. Waukesha, Wisconsin. A madman drove a vehicle into a Christmas parade. It was in November.
Hey, Greg, that's a long time ago. Why do you keep talking about it?
Well, it's not that long ago, number one, 2021. It wasn't sufficiently covered at the time. And six people were killed. I want to, and this guy was a racist. He was upset because he was a foul, degenerate of a person and a sex offender as well. So I go back, though, and I think, well, this was not covered. In fact, listen to how they conspicuously leave out any mention of race when they're summarizing this event. All right. This horrible massacre. They try to make it, they almost make it sound like the car did it. They call him a motorist at best. At worst, cut 21, please.
And with that tragedy in Wisconsin where a man drove his SUV into a Christmas parade, at least five people were killed and more than 40 injured.
We learned today that the driver, now facing intentional homicide charges, was out on bond after he allegedly punched the mother of his child and intentionally ran her over with the same vehicle at a Milwaukee gas station earlier this month.
NBC News has confirmed that the person of interest, the driver in this case, his name is Daryl Brooks. He's 39 years old, from Wisconsin right now. So far, he's not been charged with a crime. He's just being called a person of interest.
Person of interest, motorist, a man. Everybody knew at this point that it was a black man who rode into a parade full of white people and that he was motivated by racial animus. But we'll just leave that out of the story and move on really fast. So you compare that to Charlottesville. I'm only making this comparison now for the first time in my head. Now, Charlottesville was a horrible event. From what I'm told, and actually I should probably reevaluate because I don't know what to believe anymore. But some maniac jumped into a car. He happened to be white. What I'm told is a white supremacist, which is ugly and awful, and rode into a crowd and killed one demonstrator who was on the other side, a white woman by the name of Heather Heyer. And this was the worst sin that ever happened since the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, I'm told, right? This was it. This is what made Joe Biden decide to run for president. Really? This? I don't think so. Something's up, obviously. Obviously. Candace Owens. Oh, gosh, she's good. Candace Owens comes out. She says it happens every election cycle. She called it out at the time. They start talking about racism. Now, the only difference is it's perpetuating beyond the election cycle. One more time, Joe Biden up in Buffalo trying to create an ugly myth about America, talking up white supremacy like crazy. Cut one, go. Joe Biden in Buffalo this morning.
Jill and I bring you this message from deep in our nation's soul. In America, evil will not win, I promise you. Hate will not prevail, and white supremacy will not have the last word.
Wow, white supremacy. Well, we don't like white supremacy, but the thing about a president, a presidential visit, going up there and speaking in this manner, it's magnifying white supremacy, which is a fringe, wacko, non-issue, for the most part, collectively speaking, it's not. Joe Biden wishes it were so. Give me another one, please.
In Charlottesville, Virginia, I wasn't going to run, as the senator knows, again for president. When I saw those people coming out of the woods or the fields in Virginia, in Charlottesville, carrying torches, shouting, "You will not replace us," accompanied by white supremacists and carrying Nazi banners, that's when I said, no, no. And I, honest to God, those who know me, Chuck, you know, I wasn't going to run for certain. But I was going to be darned if I was going to let anyway. I'm going to get going. Look, we've seen the mass shootings in Charleston, South Carolina, El Paso, Texas, and Pittsburgh, last year in Atlanta, this week in Dallas, Texas, and now in Buffalo, New York. White supremacy is a poison. It's a poison running through our, it really is, running through our body politic. And it's been allowed to fester and grow right in front of our eyes. No more. I mean, no more. We need to say as clearly and forcefully as we can that the ideology of white supremacy has no place in America.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No kidding. No kidding. No kidding it doesn't. You see, though, he wants to magnify it. He wants to make it bigger than it is. We have... Again, just flick on the TV and you'll hear all about the systemic racism, racist cops, over and over and over again. It's no wonder that we have Waukesha. It's no wonder we have Frank James on the subway. It's no wonder that we have black identity extremists, right? They're out there. It's a thing, even though the FBI doesn't like to talk about it anymore because it's politically incorrect. It's a fake view of the country that they are pushing, the left, for their own political advantage. One more.
Hate and fear are being given too much oxygen by those who pretend to love America, but who don't understand America. To confront the ideology of hate requires caring about all people, not making distinctions. Reverend, the scripture is seeing that we're all part of the divine. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the America I know, that Jill knows. And most deserve the most, we're the most multiracial, most dynamic nation in the history of the world. Now's the time for the people of all races, from every background, to speak up as a majority in America and reject white supremacy.
See, we're going to go through this again.
We've seen in these hate-filled attacks represent the views of a hate-filled minority. We can't allow them to distort America, the real America. We can't allow them.
You're
to destroy
distorting
the
real America. You, Joe. You. And now we're going to have this silly litmus test again. Chris Wallace, I can see President Trump, will you renounce white supremacy here and now, sir? Proud Boys. Proud Boys. Say it. Say it. Say it. Remember that tag team? Remember it? This is not America. Hey, wasn't that a great song by David Bowie? And what was it? Not Tangerine Dream. Who's that other guy who has the modernistic music? I can't think of his name, but you know who I'm talking about. It's a soundtrack from Falcon and the Snowman. Great song. Alfred and Young. Oh, hold on a second, Alfred. I got to go to Jay in Central Jersey. Hi. Oh, no, Jay. I'm sorry. I'm not interested. Marvin in Manhattan. Marvin, what's up?
Yeah, I'm 91 years old. Born in the Bronx, and was drafted into the Korean War, and I had a very good friend, black man, drafted into the Korean War with me, white man, and I got overseas, and I see him there, and I say, what the heck is going on here? We both got drafted, but it turns out, when they drafted me and they had too many people going to Korea, they sent me to Austria. And that's where this black friend of mine used to hang around the block on Claremont Parkway on the stoop with the rest of the guys drafted. And that's another subject. How is it America drafts people for like places like Korea, wars, and why can't we keep our nose out of other people's business in this world? Can't we just stick to the United States and keep our troops around us and save us and not drift off into other places and keep our nose clean? No. Getting back to the story. So I've been a draftee for the Korean War, 1951 to 53. And so I say to Tiny, he was a six-foot guy, he says to me, "It's too quiet here. I want to go to Korea." Next thing I know, we're back in the Bronx. Our 2 years are up. We got drafted for 2 years. And he's back on the snoop, and I say, what happened to you? He says, "It was too quiet. I went into the Korean War, and I fought in the Korean War." But we don't belong in these places.
All right. Whoa. I mean, what's the moral of the story? I mean, wait, what? You were on the stoop, and you both went off to the military, and then 2 years later, you're back on the stoop?
That's right. And we both survived it. But what I'm trying to bring out is my main part of this talk is that why can't we stay out of people's wars, other places in the world? Why? Why are we always at our nose in other people's business? Now we get back to the business of black people.
All right, Jay, you're just going to do this for me. What is the business of black people, Jay?
We all went to the same schools, and we all learned the same kind of gobbledygook until I figured out, this is not the place for me, when I was in PS 55 in the Bronx. Yeah.
Hey, man, you're 91 years old, right?
That's right.
Wow.
And I've seen it all, and I still...
Any regrets? Any regrets?
Hey,
Jay, do me a favor. What advice would you have for a younger person? And let's face it, most people are younger than you. Somebody, say, who's 20 and somebody that's, yeah, what would your advice be? Everything you know, what would you tell somebody who's really just starting out?
We're all the same. We have the same blood, the same hearts, the same legs, the same skin, except for the color of it. One man's skin could be exchanged for another. Maybe the color would be different.
Yeah.
What the hell are we, crazy or something?
All right, calm down.
Relax,
Jay. I'm asking for any, like, you know, save money or a 401k or anything along those lines or, you know, something practical. I mean, come on. You've seen it all. You've done it all. What would you say?
I'm concerned about the world events.
It's going to be fine. We're going to be fine.
May I just say this last thing?
Please.
I'm concerned about what made the major news today above
what?
The black situation.
The black situation.
In America, let's say.
Yeah.
In the world, actually.
Well, look, you're old enough to remember Walter Cronkite, Roger Mudd. Who the hell was the other guy? They were all lefties. You know that. They were all against Nixon. They were always, the media was always left. They were always hyping stuff. You know, this is not new, Jay. That's one thing I'm surprised. This is not new. I mean, and you're 1950 going off into a war that we could debate whether it was necessary. It happened in the 50s. It happened in the 60s. It happened in the 70s. It happened in the 80s. It happened in the 90s. It happened in the early 2000s. It happens.
You know something?
This ain't brand new.
North Korea may all die because they're getting a disease that not one of those people got the needle in their arm.
All right, Jay, thanks, man. Thank you. When I'm 91, I hope I have a bit more peace and serenity. Do you have anything you're happy about, Jay?
My name is Marvin, first of all, and about Jay, I hope he does well in his life.
I'm sorry. Hey, wait. I know why I picked this. Sorry. I thought you wanted to say something about UFOs.
Put your guns freaking down.
All right, stop. All right, Marvin, goodbye. I try to pay a lot of respect because he's 91, but, you know, it just sounded, is it me? Maybe it is. I can, all right, give me a moment. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, remember Marco Rubio? Marco Rubio, he's a Republican from Florida. He's a pretty sharp guy. He was against Trump, but he's come around. And he was taking on Fauci, which I cannot believe Fauci is still around. Although, did you hear Fauci has promised that if Donald Trump is reelected, Fauci will leave federal government. Well, Fauci will be 86 years old at the time. So, yeah, enough already with Fauci. And I thought Rubio had some really good questions for this guy, pretty straightforward questions. And, of course, Fauci was, well, you know, he's very evasive and does not really, you know, because of the data, what it says there, Senator, you're wrong. May I hear this, please?
Dr. Fauci, I'm running into something that's pretty interesting. I believe the United States is the only major Western country that now requires its citizens to test negative for COVID before they can get on an airplane and reenter the country. I believe that's accurate. And on the other hand, we're hearing now that, for example, Title 42, which is a COVID-era policy, should be lifted because we've reached a point now where COVID is manageable or at a level where we no longer need Title 42. And we obviously know we have a problem in our southern border where every day people are entering the country illegally, and many are not even being tested for COVID. And even if they are, they're being allowed to stay and most certainly would under Title 42. I don't understand. How do we tell American citizens if you test positive, even if it's dead virus that's been in your system for 10 days, because you can test positive days after you're no longer infectious, and you can't enter your own country, but people, if you arrive illegally, whether you test positive or not, if you say the magic words for asylum, you get to stay in the country. And this is a real life scenario. I know people that are abroad, they test positive, they're not sick, maybe they were sick a week ago, and they can't afford to continue to pay for hotel rooms and staying overseas until they can finally score a negative test. Has the time come for us to lift this, in your view, you know, having been so integral in our COVID response? Are we at a point now where American citizens should be allowed to return to their country without testing negative?
You know, I'm not. Thank you for the question. It's an important question. I don't have the answer to that. I mean, we work with our CDC colleagues to continue to examine the feasibility of that and the desirability of that. I think the idea of having an immigration issue mixed with a public health issue for the general population, I think those probably should be separated.
Well, except they're interrelated because they're both involved groups of people entering the United States. One group is citizens of the country entering legally. The other group, frankly, are people that are not entering legally. The group that's not entering legally, even if they test positive, if they're even tested, get to stay. The American citizen can't reenter their own country until they produce a negative. And my point is, if we've reached a point in COVID where we no longer need Title 42 as a COVID restriction for illegal entry, why do we still need travel restrictions for American citizens for legal entry into their own country? That's the genesis of the question. That's where I think the link is. It sort of seems to be at odds with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. That was kind of dragged out. But, of course, Fauci has no interest being a government bureaucrat and taking a stand on anything. He obfuscates. He avoids the question. He confuses. That's what he does because – well, whenever he talked boldly, and he did very briefly on my show, when he said, Greg, we don't have to worry about the coronavirus, and I think we're going to be fine. He said that on my show on late January of 2020. And, of course, it blew up, and everybody used that clip. I mean, he was 1,000% wrong. Donald Trump, for a long time, was getting his information from Dr. Fauci. It was wrong as wrong can be. All right. Let me just wrap up here with Tommy is in Brooklyn. Yeah, Tommy. Hi.
Hey, Greg. I love your no BS attitude. Very refreshing. And I think you do a great impression of Fauci, by the way. I'm not as good as you, you know. Anyway, there are three middle school boys being accused of sexual harassment for not using preferred pronouns. I don't believe this. I mean, if a transgender is a biological boy, then I can call him anything. I can call him a him or a sir. Same for anyone of the other 72 different genders. They do have a right to call themselves anything they want, you know. And we have, including these three children, have a right to call them whatever we want. First Amendment. If this is a problem, I mean, well, then everyone from now on must call me Highness because I'm a king. And that's why I identify with, okay?
Your Highness, I agree with you. I will follow your rule. Yeah, you know, you raise some great points. You really do. Freedom of speech. Tommy, you're the best. Anything else?
All these, you know, it's all BS. It's, you know, yeah. I'm just sick of it, you know, and it's
fun. Hang in there, man. We got to have fun. Let's not get it down. We got to make fun. We got to make our own fun sometimes. Join me on Twitter. I have a blast, by the way. Let's see. We got one more here. Christine is in Middletown, Connecticut. Yes, Christine. Hello.
Mr. Kelly. All this division, message of division, especially when you just played one from Biden, this will never end until we all realize that all 340 million of us have a couple common things in common, like we all have daily struggles, we all want more green currency in our wallets, and we all bleed red. When we all realize that and start to help each other, then our country will be better off.
I don't know about that, Christine. I mean, I already know that, and I'm still going to debate with people I disagree with. I mean, I agree with you. That's the human condition. I mean, that's that people want resources. People bleed red. I know all those things. I still think Kathy Barnett is a silly dimwit and shouldn't be in the United States Senate. I mean, I still think, you know, the woke agenda is totally corrupt and weird, and I'm going to talk about it. I mean, that may not sound very unifying, but I think sometimes we put too much emphasis, I know this sounds crazy, on unity. I mean, we're allowed to pipe off, right, Christine?
Yes. It stinks that the president and his inauguration talked about unity, and all he does is divide.
Yeah, I know, and he did that today in Buffalo, and I'll show it again in pretty effective form tonight on the Newsmax show. We got all kinds of clips lined up. Christine, thank you. I got one more. Frank in Smithtown. Yes, final word.
Hey, Greg. Pleasure to talk to you again. I had spoken to you last week, and I just wanted to comment on the gravitas or lack thereof of Kathy Barnett. I just crossed into the state of Pennsylvania, and I'm looking at the lawn signs, and I just got to put it out there again. I had gone on her website and, you know, cruise through it, military service and everything else. And there's nothing there. And I looked at your resume on Newsmax last night, and I'm saying, based on that, you should be president of the United States, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I know. But it's her resume is an absolute joke. And it's if she gets – I don't think she will. I think it's going to be Dr. Oz. I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to be realistic. I really think it's going to be Dr. Oz. So, hey, real quick, where in Pennsylvania, and why did you go there?
I live on Long Island, but I got a place up here. I'm going to do a little fly fishing for a couple of days.
Hey, what is fly fishing anyway? What's the big deal? What, you put the little feather on the hook or something? What is that all about?
It's a lot of fun. The places where you go trout fishing are probably the most beautiful places you could ever think of.
Is it true that you guys throw the fish back in the water after you catch them for the most part?
Yeah, I haven't killed a fish.
I don't understand that. I always like to throw it back in. You know, I never. Anyway, I know you guys love it. I got a friend, Dave Koss. He really loves it. He's one of the best fly fishermen in the entire USA. Thank you, Frank. Thank you all. I got to run. You'll enjoy the Newsmax show tonight. I'll see you then.